John chapter 15. Then we're going to turn over to Romans, John chapter 15, 1137 in your Scofield Bible. John chapter 15, verse number 13, a Bible verse that those of us that have been saved for a while are familiar with. These things have I spoken unto you that, or verse number 11, I'm sorry, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Of course, I've preached a message on this before about God, the way God measures love, but greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and that's 1197 in your Scofield Bible. Romans 5. Verse number 6. For when we were yet, verse 6, still turning there? I'm fine with people turning their pages of the Bible taking a while. Now when staff members are doing that, I have a problem with that. That means you have new Christians in your church, okay? That's a good sign. I like seeing people come to church with cigarettes in their pocket. Now if it's deacons, I don't like that. You say, why? That means you have new Christians in your church. Oh man, he doesn't smell like a Christian. This is a hospital for sinners. Okay, this isn't a museum for saints. Okay, so just, you know, keep flipping those pages. By the way, if we start reading, you haven't found it yet, just act like you've found it, and you can listen. Verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for thee. Say the next word, class. You know who God died for? God in the flesh, Jesus. You know who he died for? The ungodly. That's who God died for. The ungodly. He died for sinners. Let's look on. Verse 7, for scarcely or rarely for a righteous man will one die. He's talking about us. We won't even die for a righteous man. Or it's a rare occasion. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Saying it's a rare thing for someone to even die for a good man. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, what class?
Sinners.
Jesus died for sinners. So we're in the right company this morning. He died for the ungodly when we were out without strength. And the Bible says he died for sinners. Look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were what, class? Look up here. Jesus died for his enemies. I don't know about you, but my flesh wants to poke my enemy's eyeballs out with a little ice pick. Anybody with me this morning? Okay, we're just normal people. No saints walked in this church this morning. We're saints not because of who we are. We're saints because of what Jesus has done. Jesus died for his enemies. He died, the Bible said, for the ungodly. He died for the sinners. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Father, I pray this morning that we would understand a little better about the love that Jesus has for us. And might we, out of a heart of gratitude, show our love to him. Please, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Many measuring tools, if you would. Some of us have a scale at home. Some of us prefer not to have a scale at home. Okay, some of us have a scale at home, but we hide that scale. Amen? We're in denial. I don't need the scale. It's a measuring tool, if you would. Thermometer. We check our temperature. a ruler. Children have rulers. Or some of us that allowed our son to use our tape measure and they broke it and we're out there measuring something in the backyard with a ruler, you know. We have tape measures. I used to work in machine shops. Anybody know what a micrometer is? What's a micrometer? Anybody? Okay, you know a micrometer. Okay. Measuring cups. I know we all go to McDonald's for dinner, but some people use measuring cups to cook. Measuring spoons. I had boys' foods when I was at Lindbergh Junior High School. Yeah, it was all boys. But measuring cups, we learned the difference between a teaspoon and a tablespoon. You now can measure your own blood sugar at home. Blood, what's the blood pressure thing, you nurses? We have nurses. What's that called? Anyway, they don't know either. They think they do. Measuring tools. Now this morning, we need to understand that God has a way to measure our love. We live in a society that we have watched Hollywood too long. We've listened to too many love songs. Too many country and western songs. And we think we know what love is. We've watched too many soap operas. Novellas. Chinese kung fu love movies. Okay, I'll get you somewhere. But we think love is this emotion and this and sweetie pie and honey this. And by the way, I'm all for the sweetie pie honey names. Honey and sugar. But you know, there's a lot of men that call their wife sugar, they're really sour. God measures love by one word. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Can you tell how much you love somebody? Yes. There are levels, there are degrees. No greater love. God says there are levels of love. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. The greatest love that we can show for somebody is to literally give our entire life. That's the ultimate sacrifice, is to lay down your life to die for somebody. God measures love by sacrifice. How much do you love your wife, your husband, your children, your God? Jesus' love for us has been measured by his sacrifice for us. God's love, the Bible says, passes human understanding. By the way, it takes a lot of sacrifice to love the ungodly. Romans again, 5:6, if you just go right back over there. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know about you, but I'm not really attracted to the ungodly. Though I'm supposed to give them the gospel, but Jesus Christ gave his life for the ungodly. Again, he says in verse 7, for scarcely or rarely for a righteous man will one die peradventure for a good man. He says, it's a rare thing, but God, we use this in our soul winning, but God commendeth his love toward us. By the way, don't get used to that verse. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet, what again, class? Sinners. Christ died for us. Verse 10, when we were enemies, it's not very easy to love sinners, enemies, ungodly. By the way, we may instinctively die for a family member. We'd say, I'd die for my wife. I would die for my husband. I think there's something inside of me that says I would die for my family. I think I would die for many of our people here in our church. This is a few of you I'm not sure about, okay? A couple of our assistant pastors, Brother Myers and my brother. I think instinctively I would die. There's something there. I think it's from God. I really do. There's the protective instincts that God gives us for our family. I'll never forget. I think I've shared this before. Animals are like that. Don't mess with puppies, okay? Don't mess with a dog's puppies. They just had puppies. Don't mess with them, okay? That's an instant bite on the hand. I remember we were driving. I was back road of the college. My brother-in-law, Trent, and I, there was a mother duck and little ducklings walking across the street. I just thought it was sort of cute. We pulled over, and now I'm sort of smart. I have street smarts. He has a really high intellect. He's very intelligent, but I have street smarts. So I said, I'm not touching those baby little ducklings. But I wanted to hold one. So we got out, pulled the car over, and they were just there. And I said, I'm not messing with them. That mama duck will attack me. I said, and I didn't say anything like that to Trent. I said, hey, Trent, why don't you pick up one of those little ducklings? I didn't say, now be careful. I just stood back. He said, sure. He walks over there just like he normally does. He went to pick up one of the little ducklings. I'm not kidding. Mama duck put her jets on. She went like this, and she flew under the radar. She flew right into his chest and started biting his chest. I'd never laughed so hard in my life. It was fun. Jesus' love for us can be measured by his sacrifice for us. Let me say this morning, church, Jesus Christ loves us. He loved us so much that he died when we were enemies of Jesus and we were enemies of God and the Bible says we were ungodly, and the way he showed his love for us is by giving himself. The greatest love is he gave his life for us while we were ungodly, Romans 5:6 says. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. People say, I want to get my life straightened out before I come to God. Just let people know, Jesus Christ died for you just as you are. You come to him just as you are. He'll clean you up a little bit. He'll start working on you. But Jesus did not die for someone to first clean up their life. They're not going to clean up their life. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Let me say quickly, our love for Jesus and others is measured by our sacrifice for him. This past week we heard again, as I've heard before, the testimony of Tom Williams. Tom Williams' wife, about 28 years ago, was diagnosed with spinal meningitis. And make a long story short, her health began to fail and it affected her brain. And he, for many years, even to this day, has been married to a lady that has the mental capacity of about a one-year-old. And he has stayed faithful to her. By the way, men, God said, till death do us part. Not until she can't think. He shares a testimony how that when he kisses his wife can't kiss him back. When he gives her affection, his wife cannot share the affection. She had to go to the hospital. Nurses were there, and they said, we've never seen a man love his wife like you've loved your wife. Do you know what? He has great love. I have a friend. I don't know I know once a friend, always a friend, but I don't know if I want him to be my friend anymore. His wife began to put on weight. Please turn your cell phones off when you come to church. And he left his wife. Hey, man, God said, till death do us part. Not until you see a prettier smile. And he left his wife because she gained weight, and he blamed it on her. Shame on you. Shame on you. That man has no concept of what love is. Love says, I love no matter what. Unconditional love. Sacrificial love. Our love for Jesus and others is measured by our sacrifice for him and others. To the degree that we will sacrifice for God and to the degree that we will sacrifice for others shows us or measures our love. This building campaign has helped me. It's a test. It's a test. All it is a test. I won't do this, but it would be sort of nice if at the end of the building campaign I say, okay, everyone line up. We're giving you your money back. By the way, don't get any bright ideas. We're not going to do that. You say, Pastor, what is happening? We're being tested to see how much we love him and how much we love this church. All it is a test. By the way, our people are passing with flying colors. There's a lot of A pluses and there's a lot of A's in this church. They're showing God that we love you. And as Jerry shared just a minute ago, and you don't understand, that he was saying, listen, Lord, we're not only willing to give, we're willing to sacrifice because we love you and we love this church. How much do you love your wife? How much do you love your children? How much do you love your God? How much do you love this church? How much will you sacrifice for this church? How much will you sacrifice for your wife? How much will you sacrifice for your husband? Well, I just don't like it around here anymore. Well, my husband, you know, he's this and that. He's just like the rest of us. Sacrifice. Our children have overwhelmed me as they even know how to turn their cell phones off in church. Our children love this church. Their level of love is being tested. It's being measured, if you would. How? By every Sunday when they bring their little piggy bank. They're going around their homes and they're getting every little penny and nickel. And by the way, we've seen some $5 bills and some $10 bills in those piggy banks. You know, it's measuring their love for this church and for God. Our teenagers, our bus teenagers. Folks, we have some people that love this church and love God. We might not be a wealthy church. People, we have visitors come, oh, it must be a wealthy. This is not a wealthy church. It is a church that is committed. It is a church that loves God. It is a church that loves God's church that he gave his son for. Our teenagers love this church. Our teenagers are giving thousands of dollars to this building campaign. We have some teenagers that are giving money that they've saved. By the way, we're not putting guilt trips on people. And we pray that this is just the Holy Spirit. We give testimonies and we are not putting pressure on people. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our own hearts to say, what do you want to do in my heart? No guilt trip. We have teenagers giving hundreds, and we have teenagers giving 500. We have teenagers that are, I know several teenagers are going to give over $1,000 to the bill. Teenagers! By the way, our teenagers don't work, have secular jobs like maybe the typical teenager. Some of them, few of them do, but these are savings. They've had little jobs here and they save money. They're selling different things. Do you know what it's showing to us? We have teenagers that love God and love this church. Measure our love. How can you tell? What is the measuring? Not, I love you. That's not it. Of course, we want to express our love, but it's sacrifice. How much will you sacrifice? I hate to say it. We live in such a selfish society. Selfishness has taken away love. It's robbed love from marriages and robbed love from families and robbed love from Christ and robbed love from the church. And I've got to do this for me. We will not be willing to sacrifice because of this. Many new people in our church are sacrificing. And all you're doing is you're showing your love for God and your church. I'm overwhelmed by, during our building campaign, that people like Jerry, he's been here the first campaign, and he gave all the money he saved. His business began to grow, and he gave all the money he saved for one of his vans. And the second, by the way, I feel uncomfortable sitting right here. I really do when our people say, I maxed out my credit card to give cash to the building campaign. What do you believe about debt? I mean, do you think God wants that? I think God wants our heart. And I think, and I would not encourage it, and I wouldn't teach it. But I tell you what, you know what they're saying? I'm willing to go in debt for Jesus because he went in debt for me. By the way, Brother Kuma, you need to pay your sister-in-law back. Give one less $1,000 to the building campaign, okay? Many are on their third building campaign. They're not saying, well, I gave mine. I gave it the first. I gave it the second. Zip! You ain't getting my money. You know, they're just showing they weren't in here for the first building campaign, and just as they're here, they're saying, you know what? I love God. I love his church. Love is measured by our sacrifice. We have a very committed church, very committed people. You encourage my heart by knowing your level of commitment by your sacrifice. We heard this past week a story about a lady that really showed her love for her God by sacrifice. In the, I believe it's in the New Guinea area, there were some headhunters, cannibals. So what's a cannibal? They eat people. Okay? These are not places where you would want to be called to the mission field. This lady graduated from Tennessee Temple University, and she believed that God wanted her as a single lady. By the way, it's not good for a single lady to go to the mission field by herself. And if she's going by herself, it'd be good if there was a mission already started there, if she's not married. And it would be good if, you know, since she's single, that she went to a place where it's sort of safe. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Well, she thought God wanted her to go to where the cannibals were, where some of the oil companies were pulling up their companies because some of their employees were being eaten for lunch. And helicopters did not want to even land there because these natives knew how to throw their spears in the propellers. I guess they practiced, you know. And the propellers would bite the bullet, and then they would attack the helicopter pilots. Nobody wanted to go there. This lady thought this is where God wanted her to go. She decided to go there. No missions agency wanted to take her because it was too much of a risk. But she found a helicopter pilot. She flew into the area, found a helicopter pilot that would risk dropping her and running. You know, that lady really loved Jesus. Did you have to go to the mission field to love Jesus? No, but her sacrifice, willing to sacrifice for Christ, showed the level of her love. She landed there. Everyone's going, this lady's crazy. She walks over to the village by herself. And there they were, waiting to greet her. And the chief said, there she is. And the chief said, come with us. He said, we had a dream last night that an angel from God, a white angel, came. And you must be the white angel from God. The whole village got saved. Do you know why she got to experience that blessing? Because she was willing to show her love for Christ. Heard a story this past week. Actually, we saw the man. He had a successful business, but he had such a heart for missions. He would pay for these. He'd use a lot of his excess money, surplus money, or maybe even some of his own personal money to send containers to the mission field. That was one way he thought that he can contribute to the missionaries. One day he went to Brother Dr. Scott, was his pastor. He moved there because of their missions agency, but he still had his business. One day he brought his son. They see Brother Scott, his son was about 19, maybe 19 or 20 or so. And they talked to Brother Scott, and the mother said, there's something wrong with our son. Well, he didn't understand what he was saying. Brother Scott said, well, they didn't explain it. And he said, okay, now follow your parents and this, and that. And he said, he gave the son a hug and then sent him off. The next day, the parents woke up and went into the son's room, and to see the son on his bed, dead. You'd think a family like that would spend some time grieving and saying, we've done so much for the Lord, why would this God let this happen? By the way, never accuse God. Don't put God on trial. God is the God of the universe. God knows what's best for everybody. Make a long story short, this family is on their way to the mission field to Ghana, West Africa. You know what they're saying? God, we love you. We're not sure why you took our son. But Lord, we are willing to give our lives. Pastor, what's the message this morning? The message is this. How much do you love God this morning?
Husband, how much do you love your wife this morning? Wife, how much do you love your husband this morning? Well, I love him a lot. I tell him I love him every day before I leave, or every day before he leaves. I give him a hug and I give him a kiss and I tell him I love you. How much do you sacrifice for her? I know my wife loves me very much.
You say, why? My wife will do anything. Anything.
In the middle of the night, if there's someone out in the back ruffling around and I should go out there with my gun, if I was to say, honey, can you check it out? She would go. She ought to slap me in the face before she goes.
Let's bow our heads for just a moment. We're over time.